we're back here on this Getaway Friday morning, Friday, September the 6th, 2019, 15, coming up on 16 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Kai Meade, the Democratic candidate for First Ward City Council here in Marion, will appear on the ballot in November. And I do want to make mention, because we are not a one-sided program, that any candidate, Republican, Democrat, or Independent, who would like to come on this station in any race is allowed. Feel free. Contact me on Facebook. Give us a call here at the station, 740-383-9944, or shoot me an email from the website, wwgh1071.com. If you want to be on, we will give you the time to talk about what you want to talk about. And if there's anybody who has a question for Kai or anything else going on this morning, give us a call, 740-383-9944. You know, there was just a story in the Marion Star today, speaking of city council, that a councilman called recycling a waste. What did you make of that?
You know, I'm not. Who knows? Because city council, you know, sometimes you get some strange quotes sometimes. But I think that the context of it matters, just because I know that he's referring to...
Well, see, here's the headline. Yeah. Just so we make to say this right. Well, it was... You know, I have not read the article yet. Yeah. You know who said it.
Yeah.
Tell people who said it.
Josh Daniels said it, but...
But now here's the... Before you explain it, okay. I want to... The headline reads, Marion Councilman, : recycling is a waste, and waste is in quotations. So let's explain exactly what Josh was saying.
So it's somewhat misleading, in my opinion, because he's referring to... since China is not accepting our recycled products anymore, he's saying that the stuff that we are recycling right now is just getting thrown in the dump. So he's saying, from the context of if we're just going to recycle and throw it inside the dump, then in that case, he's saying that it is a waste. He's not, I don't think he's referring to the concept of recycling to be a waste.
Well, the little bit of this story we're looking at, the first line under the headline, which we've already given you, it says, one Marion council member called recycling a waste and the head of the solid waste district a liar.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I must have missed that meeting, but I'll have to go back and read the minutes just to be sure on everything. But I do know that in the context of the recycling comment, I know he's referring to where the recycling is going right now, more than anything.
So knowing that, being at the meeting, mm-hmm. when you see that as the lead story on the Marion Star website, and that's the headline, what do you think?
You know, I think that, I guess I would just be disappointed that we're not covering more of just what's being done, or even what's not being done. I think that too often we want to get the hot statement, the interesting quote out of someone, instead of what's going on in the city. I think one of the big I'm not going to tell anyone how to do their job, but one of the big things that should be covered is the fact that meetings are getting canceled left and right, from committee to actual council meetings.
Now, why is that?
Just from different people. You know, there's a different excuse every time, but, you know, sometimes it's, you know, you don't have a quorum, which means someone says they can't make it to a specific thing. What they're doing instead of that, you know, you never know. It varies. But I think that people would be kind of, it would be incorrect to say that this election coming up didn't have something to do with it. Like, people are...
Now, what does that mean?
So people are, I think that there's a lot of meetings being canceled here and there to give more time to campaign and or to just kind of avoid certain issues being brought up. For instance, one of the big issues in Marion is just tires being found where they're not supposed to be, and there's committee meetings, for instance, for those, and meetings for those that are getting canceled, whereas we could be getting something done on council, but instead we're struggling to get just our council members to show up.
So how would that benefit anybody not to move forward with these things right now? Council meetings,
I mean,
the dealing with tires.
You know, sometimes you do just have an issue where you can't make a meeting. But then there's also just when you're running, say, if you're running a citywide race, whether it be council or anything else, you might need more time to knock. Or you might think you need more time to knock, or you might just feel like you have that ability to push a meeting back or do something of that nature. I think that your job as a councilman comes first, and that you should really put that effort into to, you know, make change happen, and then a campaign. Then you campaign with the rest of your time.
Well, it's interesting because the Monday City Council meeting, unless there's some big outpouring from the public, which 90% of the time there's not, those meetings maybe an hour, hour and 15, sometimes not even that long. And the committee meetings, even shorter than that, it usually seems like. So even if you were campaigning, we're talking 2 hours a week? Yeah. Could it really be that? Well, and these happen at night.
Yeah. For instance, there's a lot of, you know, sometimes that is your only free time. For instance, personally, I knock on the weekends, but I also knock in the evenings because, you know, that's just when, if you do have to knock during the week, I would rather knock 6, 7, if it, depending on what time it is during the year, 8 o'clock, because that's when you know you're going to catch people. You know, there's all kinds of reasons why it can be. I think at the end of the day, people just want to have their elected officials have their actual meetings.
You are, you attend the Democratic meetings, mm-hmm. I would assume. What's going on there?
It's kind of just business as usual. We're just moving ahead with the election. We're getting, we're all knocking doors, and it's kind of just like we'll have a meeting and make sure everyone's on the same page as far as like making sure everyone's knocking, making sure everyone's going door to door and things like that. And that's really it. There's not a lot of drama right now with the Marion Democrats.
Is there confidence?
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of confidence in the work that's being done. Just because I think that the more effort and the more, you know, work you put into something, the more confident you can naturally be in it.
Was there talk of the Sue McGowan issue at the Democratic meetings?
Not to my knowledge. I think that there's interest in it because I think everybody just kind of wants to see what happens. But there's not like a lot. There's no like strategic planning around it.
Why do you think the media would put up a headline like that if it's not exactly what it was about the recycling?
I think that it's one of those things where like the newspaper can say, well, he did say that it is a waste, but where if you actually like read the article where they do explain it, it kind of paints a different picture. And so, you know, the headlines catches your eye, and it kind of, you know, makes you angry, and you know, it does what a headline unfortunately does sometimes, which is, you know, catches your eye sometimes but doesn't actually paint the whole picture or tell the whole truth.
Do you think the media in Marion, because that's who covers the local elections, is fair? The legitimate media, not the Facebook media.
I think that they try to be. I think that when you're in an election, you will always feel like there's more that could be done for your side. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that they make their best effort to be as even as possible. Because I've talked to Republicans who think that it's not fair to them, and I've talked to Democrats who think it's not fair to them. So I feel like, honestly, that means they're doing their job in most instances. But, yeah, I think that they're pretty fair.
Being this is an election year, which only comes around every four, in which the mayor is up for re-election, that tends to get all of the headlines in the newspaper. Matter of fact, I don't think I've seen anything to do with any other council race in the newspaper, or really on the radio at this point. Is that how you see it continuing, or is there going to be some bombshell that will be of importance to people?
You know, you never know. People, A lot of time they call them October surprises for a reason, but I think that you don't really find out everything until later on. It's not really surprising that the mayor's race is getting the most attention. It's the top of the ticket race, but really when I'm talking to voters at the doors, they do a very good job of just kind of talking about council and council related issues.
When you go out, do you hear a lot of things about the mayoral race?
It depends. I think that...
Mayoral?
Yeah, I think so sometimes. At some doors, people have a strong opinion right away, one way or the other. And, you know, that doesn't end the conversation there. Because, you know, some voters will vote one way for the mayor and then the other way for council, or vice versa. So, really... You do hear things about the mayor mayoral race at the door, but you really have to just push through.
What are you hearing?
You know, sometimes you do hear some people for Scott, some people for Kevin, and some people for Sue. It's kind of just a mixed bag. The thing is, I knock on every door. I don't just knock on Democrats' door or just independents, and so you really hear a little bit of everything.
When you're out there, what percentage of people would you say, flat out say, I'm not voting for you?
I would say it's probably been under 5 people, I would say. And I'm not saying that.
5 people?
Yeah, 5 people that have just said, you know what, I'm not voting for you no matter what.
And how many people have you knocked on?
I've knocked the ward... about a time and a half, and like I said, there's some streets I've knocked 3 or 4 times. But to be fair, I'm not saying that there's only gonna be 5 people who don't vote for me. I think that there's just some people either are willing to politely listen, some people will some people maybe you can tell lean one way more than the other, but there's very few people who are just like right away, nope, not voting for you no matter what. Because I think that most people are just very polite about everything.
Now, how many people have told you, I'm voting for you?
A lot more than 5. I don't know an exact number, but I would definitely say a lot more than 5. It's been a good campaign so far. There's been a lot of support, a lot of enthusiasm. One thing I always try to do is make sure that the people who do give me like a soft yes, so like I'll probably vote for you. I always try to like catch up with them again in a couple weeks, just to make sure everything's still going okay. But you really, I feel really good about this campaign. I still say it's a 50-50 shot. I need as many votes as I can to win, but. Yeah, there's been a lot of support.
Do they talk about your opponent in these meetings?
In the Democrats meetings?
Yeah, well, in the Democrats meetings, let's start there.
No, not really. They'll ask me sometimes about him, but really,
what's a common question?
Is your opponent knocking as much as you or something like that? And you know, you really never know the answer to that question for sure, but most of the time I just say, listen, I'm gonna focus on my campaign. I'm just gonna knock keep knocking and keep talking to voters and kind of just let my opponent do his thing, because I'm confident in my ideas and what I'd like to bring to the table.
When you're at people's doors, do they ever bring it up?
Sometimes. You know, sometimes it just depends on the door. People will let you know how they feel, or one way or another, especially if for some reason they have a negative feeling about that person. Because, you know, sometimes, and this is true with any candidate, not just my opponent, sometimes you'll have people say, well, you've got my vote no matter what, because, you know, you might not like their opponent or something like that. And so at the doors, not so much, because I really hammer home, you know, what can I bring to council? What are the ideas that I want to bring, and what are the changes that I want to make? And so you know, in my little spiel that I bring to the doors, there's not a lot of room for anything about my opponent.
It's interesting because we talked about this last time. Neither one of you have ever held political office. Neither one of you are an incumbent in this race. It's really quite different because the first ward for many years, 20 years, the same person was there. It was a Democrat, Ralph Cumston. And then we had Robert Landon come in, who had never held office anywhere and defeated Ralph, who was the incumbent. And he came in and now has decided he would like to be auditor. So he's not running. So what does that make the first ward at this point?
A toss-up. That's why I say it's 50-50. You don't really know what's going to happen. I think that we'll know after the election. We'll know on election night, and that's about it. It's going to be too tough to make any predictions about anything. We're just always going to have... I think the first ward is always just going to be a toss-up ward where, you know, the best candidate will win.
And what makes you the best candidate?
For one, my involvement within... I have experience at council meetings. I have experience volunteering in the community. When it comes to political things to non-political things, just to try to improve other people's lives, from making sure that elementary school children have books to different food drives to all kinds of things like that. I take a lot of pride in the fact of when I wasn't running a campaign, I'm still the same person as when I am. From an education standpoint, my degree is directly relevant to the job I'm seeking. And so at the end of the day, this is kind of just one big job interview where the voters get to decide, and I'm confident that I'm the most qualified candidate.
It seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but most things that city council vote on have to be voted on by majority and seem to impact all wards, like the recycling issue, like roads, things of that nature. Is there anything that ever gets voted on that is directly related to a single ward? Because a city council person cannot get anything done aside from getting a vote, correct?
So I think that a lot of the underrated aspects of being a city councilman is that a lot of your ability comes from behind the scenes. Whereas, like, when you are looking for a street to repair or speed bumps to put in or something like that, you're going to ask the councilman, which one do you think needs the work and things like that. That's why being an active council person is so important, that if you're in the community, you know, frequently, not just during an election, or if you're frequently doing like volunteer work, you know right away where do we need to put funds, where do we need to, you know, fix this street or do work with where are people speeding down the most and things like that. To where when it comes to voting, yes, you only have one vote, but there's so much more work that goes into it behind that you have to be active. You have to be. It's extremely misleading when people call city council a part-time job, because it's anything but that.
How many hours a week do you think a city council person puts in?
I'm not sure. I would say probably 15-ish to 20, I'm guessing. I think it should be a whole lot more. You know, you should, if you're a city council person, you should, it's an everyday job, in my opinion. You know, you have to be out in the community. It's not, you're not just located on a shiny city council chair. You have to be out and about asking people, hey, what's going on? Or just looking yourself for what's going on in my community that I can fix, what's something that I can do about, what's something that I can bring to council to be voted on. One of the things that hasn't been done that much is just bringing new things to council, making changes.
This city council that we've had for 2 years, in your opinion, what have they done? What is their shining great accomplishment?
You know, I think their biggest thing is they dodged a bullet with the recycling thing. Not to be too negative, but there hasn't been a whole lot done by this
council. Now tell people about the recycling thing.
So the city briefly almost did not have recycling, and then the council passed a few changes to make it so that we could continue to provide that service to the community. Did they go about it in the way that I think was best? No, but they dodged the bullet, I guess. But, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot of consistency or productivity, I would say.
And why do you think that is?
I think it's just there's a lot of, out of the majority on council, there's a lot of inconsistency, and they don't work together frequently, and I think that makes it so that you might have, it makes it difficult for them to pass things and be on the same page, whereas I think that Dems are in the bad position right now, that they don't get a lot of say on like how things go necessarily because they're in the minority, but you're just kind of stuck for if the majority doesn't know what they're doing, then you're kind of stuck.
Well, you have the Republicans who do control the majority right now and have for the last 2 years. Do they not all agree? Is that why things are not getting done? Because if they all agreed, it would pass.
Yeah, you have to ask yourself the question, with what's not being done, is there just a lack of want to make changes, or is there a communication problem? Because you can't really argue that there's been a lot of stuff, a lot of changes made, because then someone can just say, all right, then show me what you've passed that is that much different, and that's just not the case. You either have a problem with communication between the majority, or there's just a lack of will.
And where would you put it?
I would say it's a little bit of both. When people have different ambitions and people have different when people don't communicate, I think correctly, that it makes it hard to be on the same page. Whereas I think that with the Dems, especially this round of candidates that we have, we all communicate frequently and just very well. We're on the same page on a lot of things, of just making sure that we have to be out knocking constantly, and just other candidate things that I think will translate well towards council. Whereas I think we get along well, and we all have the same mission to bring changes to Marion. Whereas we might have different ideas to how we do that, we at least agree that change needs to happen.
How are these meetings presided over? Who is the most vocal person at the meetings?
Todd Schneider, but that's just because he's council president.
Now, as far as what does he do for somebody who has not been at the meetings? How is he being vocal?
So he kind of moves the meeting along, I guess is the best way I can explain it. Going from ordinance to ordinance, and just kind of saying whether or not a motion passed or not. From, I guess, just a vocal, like when
like
someone's
opinions
on the floor, from an opinion perspective, you have probably Josh Daniels is up there for sure. Ayers Ratliff, definitely, and then I'm not maybe Jason Schauber, but that's probably my top three.
Now, who never talks and is just there?
Oh gosh. You're gonna get me in trouble. I mean, they all do speak some. I would say that Kevin Norris is pretty quiet. I've been to quite a few council meetings, and you hear Josh Daniels speak more than you hear Kevin Norris speak, is the way I'll leave it.
And what's your reasoning for that?
You know, I don't know. I don't want to be in his head with how he, when he decides to speak and when he doesn't. That's just what I've noticed as to who speaks more than the other. I don't know why Kevin chooses not to speak as much as Josh.
When the meetings are interesting, because I used to cover those when I started in radio, and I always felt the safest position, and back then the city council president, I believe when I was covering him, was Phil Reed. And I always felt that was a pretty good position to be in, because usually you didn't have to vote, because there was not a tie-breaking vote, and that's the only time the president votes. But you did get a lot of attention, because you spoke the most, because you were leading the meetings, but you didn't have to get involved in any of the kerfluffle, because you weren't voting, so nobody had any reason to hold anything against you.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a good position. There's a lot of... He does a very, very good job at it. It's a lot. You have to be able to move the meeting efficiently, though, I think, is one of the things that people don't notice. They think it's kind of just, you know, it's not always the most, you're not always getting involved as much. But, you know, you have to be able to manage almost the meeting, manage. Sometimes there is a larger crowd, you know, you're kind of just orchestrating everything.
Do you think that there is anybody in the... We'll go both ways here. Who's the rising star in the Democratic Party, your party? Who's somebody who could go somewhere?
Kathy from the 6th Ward.
Kathy Swanger.
Yeah, she's a great lady. She's got a history in education. One of the nicest people you'll meet. And she's just ridiculously smart. She knows what she's talking about, and she doesn't put up with anybody's crap. And I just think that she gives off just a genuine vibe towards people.
Is there somebody who's just too nice? Just lets everything go, and you can't really do that. You have to fight for your conviction.
Not that I know of. You know, maybe I've stepped on too many feet, but I don't think so.
Who's the rising star in the Republican Party?
I don't know. Maybe I just don't pay enough attention to Republican politics, but I'm not 100% sure.
If Kevin Norris becomes mayor, how do you think Marion will change?
I think that you'll see... You'll see the lack of that strong voice that you see. Scott, you know, whether or not you like him or not, I think that you can at least give Scott the benefit of the doubt. Scott is very active at just different events within the city. It's not hard to find him, and it's not hard to, you know, come talk to him about any specific issue. And I think that's one of the big things that oftentimes is underrated in politics, and especially local, is just being available.
If Sue Bengawan becomes mayor, what happens?
Who knows? I have no clue. I haven't thought about it, to be honest. And so I don't really have a good answer for you.
Are you surprised she's gotten as far as she's gotten?
Not really. I think that any time, the more candidates you have, the more options you give voters, the better off you are. Even if it doesn't change the result, you have, the more options you give voters, the more likely you are to have an increased participation.
It's why do you think independents are starting to emerge? I don't think we've ever had an independent run for mayor. If we have, it's been a long time.
I think that a lot of people are just tired of the two-party thing, whereas you have, you know, and it's not even as much about the parties, it's about the way that they're portrayed and projected in the media and things like that, to where you only see the far right and you only see the far left. That's kind of when I'm at Doors, I try to hammer home that, you know, the city council race isn't about whether or not you are a diehard Republican or a diehard Democrat. It's a job interview about who can do the best job. You know, there's the hot political issue in a city council race is who can do the best job to fix your streets, who can do the best job to end speeding, or not end, but just significantly decrease the speeding that's going on in your neighborhood. So it's a job interview at the end of the day. And, you know, sometimes the things that we get from national politics are projected onto our local politics.
Can you do that? Can you lower the way people, how fast people are driving? Can you lower their speed in a first ward?
I think that you can significantly discourage it through speed bumps, through additional stop signs. If someone wants to drive ridiculously fast, they're going to drive ridiculously fast no matter what. But speed bumps are going to discourage it. You don't see too many people fly through that road on when you're going through Chateau just because of the speed bumps. An additional stop sign, if you are going to follow the other laws, at least makes it so you have a stop, because then you are at risk at crashing. So, you know, I think that it's about putting the effort in, you know, making those changes, and then being active in the community to figure out what else you can do to slow down speeding, being receptive to the different ideas that we can bring to the table.
How much of this do you think is ego for most people? Because we live in that world now. We live in a Facebook world. How many friends do you have? Who likes your pictures? Selfies. We live in a world of YouTube. People are running their own series off of YouTube. We live in a world of podcasts. Is this about an ego thing? Is this about people will know my name? Is this about I will be somebody in the community?
I think I agree with you about the YouTube stuff and the podcast. I think that when it comes to running for something, if the exchange is that I think that makes that part a little less likely, is that if you really have like an intense race, or if you're really out there putting the effort in to get elected, the amount of work you're putting in, and you know, the positive and negative backlash or just reception that you're getting, makes it so I think that there'd be easier ways to get your name out there.
What do you think is the biggest thing Marion has going for it right now?
I think it's the people. There's a lot of family-oriented, hard-working people that sometimes we overlook. Sometimes we only talk about the bad things in Marion. But the truth is, we've got a lot of young people that want to start a family. We've got a lot of people who have worked their whole life here in Marion that just want to, you know, relax and live in a safe, quiet town. And I think that that's something that we don't talk about enough, is just how great our people are.
Do you think our morale is down? Because I hear a lot of people making very negative comments who live here. I don't know. I assume that goes on other places, but I see it here.
I think that, you know, in some places it is. And I think that partially rests on the shoulders of our councilmen. Because it is your job to be active in the community, to find, you know, solutions, to find the problems that we need to address and to fix. And so if you're going to, you know, if people are talking about these problems, I think that one way that you bring that confidence back, or you bring that hope back, is you see that the voters at least see, hey, here's somebody that's trying to make a difference. And I'm not saying that some councilmen are or aren't doing that, but that is just a way you combat like low morale in a community, so that even if you are in a bad position somewhere, that at least someone's trying something. At least there's effort being put in.
How do you think we got to the low morale?
You know, I'm not 100% sure. I think that it just kind of builds over time. You know, I think one of the big punch in the gut was probably the recession. You know, a lot of people lost jobs, a lot of jobs left. A lot of people lost their homes. And so you kind of just had a situation where people became disinterested with change, disinterested with how the differences we could make in our community. And so you come into a situation where people kind of have this why bother mentality when it comes to politics. And that's one of the changes that I'm trying to bring, is to get people more interested and get people involved more, so that they at least know what's going on and see that and maybe have hope. That's why I talk about the town hall thing, is so that even if you, like, if I'm doing a great job, I want to hear that I'm doing a great job. But if I'm doing an awful job, or if there's somewhere that you think I could improve, or something that you think I need to turn my attention to, that you can tell me, so that you don't have to come to a city council meeting, or you don't have to come to City Hall just to tell me about it. I want to come to the voters. It's my job to come to the voters.
What is the biggest mistake your opponent has made?
You know, I'll leave it up to him. I think eventually we'll get into that kind of stuff, unfortunately. But you know, I will leave it up to him to play Monday morning quarterback for himself. I'll let him decide where he made his mistakes.
Do you think he has made mistakes?
Yeah, I do. But you know, if he wants to give me a call after the election, I'll fill him in if he wants to. But until then, you know, I'll let him figure it out.
You say a 50-50 race. What percentage do you think it is at this point, with 2 months left to go, that you will win? Or do you just see it as a 50-50?
I think it's a toss-up. And I think the reason why I say it's a toss-up is just because you have... I'm knocking doors like crazy. I know I'm putting the work in, but I know not to take anything for granted. You know, you have to work your butt off from start to finish. It's not, you can't take a break for a month or something like that. You have to keep going. And then even then, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out for you, but at the end of the day, you just have to, run like it's just gonna, like you don't know what's gonna happen. And I legitimately don't.
What is the worst thing that's happened to you this election cycle?
You know, I'm not really sure. Who knows? I don't have a good answer for you. You know, I can name off a lot of the good stuff that's happened, but I don't think that there's
nothing
one.
Bad.
I don't think that there's not like one specific thing that I think that I should just like that I should just hammer home about. You know, I've been involved in volunteering and doing different political stuff for a while, so you know, you kind of know what to expect, and I think that has just made it a little bit more of a smooth transition for me.
Has anything, in your opinion, in your race been below the belt?
I was criticized by my opponent's treasurer for my place of employment. And it was indirectly. It was said in the sense of, how can someone who works here produce change? And I felt like that was a little below the belt. But we're adults, you know, things... people get to say what they want to say. But, you know, you kind of just have to roll with the punches. The thing is, I do think that even... I think that I... Where I work is how I pay my bills. How I pay my electric bill, sewer bill, all that kind of stuff. So I think that... Really, it doesn't have anything to do with it. It's about who's more qualified for the job.
So why do you think it's going there? What was that an attempt to do?
Well, that was the first interaction between my campaign and his campaign. So I think that was kind of just a unorganized attempt to... criticize the campaign, my campaign, but you know, I don't know. I don't know what the ultimate goal was out of them there. But you know, that's just something that if they come on, you got to ask them.
And they're welcome.
Yeah.
Has there ever been anything, in your opinion, that was completely false that was said about you? Because you can criticize somebody's place of employment, but it is where you work.
Yeah.
So, not so much a critique, but just false.
I won't say a specific instance, but I will say that I'm attempting to run a positive campaign that involves my ideas, the changes I want to bring to Marion and from city council, and anything else that is involved with this campaign about, you know, negative shots or anything like that is probably less involved with me than you think.
But you think they'll be there?
Oh, I'm certain. You know, campaigns, that's just how it's been from when I've been involved or what I've seen. I've seen that people do go negative sometimes. I'm assuming that now, if we just stay positive the whole time and it's just an issue-based campaign, I couldn't be happier.
Why doesn't that happen?
You know, I think what happens is people get, you know, the wrong person gets in a candidate's ear, or a candidate thinks that an issue matters more than it does, or a candidate thinks that, all right, this is going to be a good takedown issue or takedown comment. And at the end of the day, I think a lot of times that it's not. People are more about substance. Who, like, let's deal with what your ideas are, what makes you think that you can actually accomplish these things, and then, you know, what is your history to what is in your past that should back up those statements.
What have you made of the kind of dust up this year about the popcorn festivals? Things seem to be moving okay now.
Yeah, I didn't follow in detail all the criticism that was going involved with the popcorn festival, but I will say that in my writing in the popcorn festival, I had a great time. It was shorter, but you know, like I said, it was a good time. I think that a lot of the issues ended up kind of resolving themselves. Not all of them, but like I said, it's from my perspective, and that's one of, I did not pay that much attention to all of the critiques that were going on, but I think it went smoother than people expected.
If you wake up the day after the election and have not won, how big of a blow is that to somebody? You've never faced that yet.
Yeah.
But we've seen other people face it. Seems to be a big blow.
I think that, you know, you want to win. You want to, you wouldn't run if you didn't want to win. I think that the thing is, you have to, if you truly want to do good in the community, you have to continue to do good where you can. Whereas I would love to get on city council and make the changes that I would like to see to our community. But if for some reason that's not the case, I'm going to continue to volunteer where I can at different places. You can't say, oh, because I lost, I'm just done for good with, you know, volunteering or just getting involved in different things. You have to stay involved if you truly believe in your ideas.
The guest today has been Kai Mead, Democratic candidate, First Ward City Council here in First Ward in Marion. And again, if anybody else would like to come on this show, Democrat, Republican, Independent, just let us know via the website, the Facebook page, or give us a call and we will put you on. That's how we do it. Charlie Evers is coming up next, 10 to 12 noon in the Exchange Club with Brandy Downs. Myself and Charlie will return today from 12 until 1. That'll be a lot of fun. Any parting words with 20 seconds left, Kai?
Well, if you live in the First Ward, I'd love to have your vote. If you don't live in the First Ward, I encourage you to vote. And just remember that early vote starts October 8th, Monday through Friday. You can go in at the Board of Elections, and then Election Day is November 5th. And to just have a wonderful rest of your day.
Charlie Evers coming up in about 10 minutes.
The Talking Place. For former coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Jim Tressel.
You know, it's interesting because everybody knows the story, obviously, of what happened there. But when that all was going down, because that's a rough period, that's a rough year. And, you know, as it comes out in Sports Illustrated that, you know, these emails were flying around on April 2nd, and on December 9th, you publicly said you didn't know anything about it, and it all came down that way. Do you wish you had said, yes, I know, on December 9th, or had reported it earlier?